Hey, this is Brad Biley, and you just found Insights, the most listened to podcast by recruiters and staffing owners who want to learn what's working in recruitment and digital marketing. If you're new to the show, here's what you can expect to hear. Every other week, Matt Lozar, Haley Marketing's Director of Recruitment Marketing, and I, our Director of Digital Marketing, break down what's working for staffing and recruiting firms across North America. But Insights is not a marketing show. It's a show built to help you get more job orders and more applications. And whether you stumbled upon the show or you're here on purpose, we're glad you're here. Let's get to it. What's up and welcome back to another episode of Insights, the podcast built to help you with your recruitment and digital marketing. As always, I'm joined by Haley Marketing's Director of Recruitment Marketing. He's Matt Lozar. Matt, how are we feeling this week, buddy?
We're doing well, Brad. How are you doing?
Matt, I'm back, buddy. I have risen from the ashes like a phoenix. I have risen, Matt, from the ashes like a phoenix. Friends, I've been in a spot for the last week. I have been in an absolute spot. But I am back, Matt. I am healthier than ever, and I am ready to just fire away segments on Insights. How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm glad you're back. Brad got hit by something hard. I know a lot of people across the country have just been getting hit by some nasty bugs here. So the end of February, beginning of March was tough for our podcast host, but I told him last night when we're recording this, I think one of the best feelings in the world is when you're right after you feel that you've turned the corner and you've recovered. You've been knocked down for a couple days and you're like, I'm never going to be healthy again. And now you are. And it's like, oh, this, you value things a little bit differently.
Yeah, I will take that just a little step to the right. I'm not going to take it a step further, a step to the right. When you're sniffly and then all of a sudden you either like rotate on your pillow and all of a sudden you can breathe, or the day post sniffle where you're breathing in HD, you're breathing in 4K. That is something else too. But like Matt was alluding to, friends, it was like somebody came into my house, beat me up for like 15 hours, stole my wallet, and then just said, all right, see ya. And then after that, I was totally fine. But buddy, like a phoenix from the ashes, I am here and I am ready for Insights 138. Are you?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's do it, bud. Matt, I want to ask you this one very simple question. Why is it a bad candidate experience to ask for a social security number at stage one of the application process?
Is this a rhetorical question or would you like the real answer?
Do we even need to talk about this? Why are we still talking about this in 2024?
We're talking about it because we see it. That's why we're talking about it.
Why are we still doing this? And I know you know the reason, so walk me through it. Why do we ask for a social security number in our application process?
So I think it comes down to what part of the application process we're talking about here. You know, on Insights, we've talked about in the past, that first initial candidate application, quote unquote, is more almost like a general interest form, which I know can be difficult because you don't want to, you want to find the balance between with efficiency, wasting recruiters' time, but also giving them enough information to advance a candidate in the process. If you're hiring for a trucking position and get someone who isn't certified, well, then you've wasted time and money. But if we're in the simple part of the application process, hopefully we're not asking for social security numbers. But we've seen companies in staffing, I'm sure you see this outside of staffing a lot because they're tied to their ATS application process. They're long, they're 15, 30 minutes. The social security number's on there because it's unique and it goes into the database. So it instantly creates a unique ID for Matt versus Brad, because literally no one in the United States is going to, in theory, have the same social security number as me.
Matt, I will never put my social security number on the internet as an applicant, as anybody. I'm never typing it. In fact, I and everyone I've talked about on the show before that I work for the National Lacrosse League, they needed my social for my W-2 or whatever it was. I called the guy. I was like, I'm not sending this via email, via text, whatever. I'm going to call you and give this to you, write it down, and then burn that paper. Like, I'm trusting you with this. And candidly, they should have known it already. I've been there for 7 years. That's neither here nor there. The fact that we're asking someone for their social at stage one of the application process, Matt, we have to be losing 96, 97% of applicants on that role because of that pre-qualifier. It's got to be close to that. I don't know that you're going to have that data, but anecdotally, how many people out of 100 are willing to give their social security number at stage one of an application process.
I like to look at things at pros and cons. I'm not going to have that data to get back to the original point, but it'd be great if a company could just strip that field out from an application and do some A/B testing. Usually you can't because the applications with a lot of ATS are pretty standard, so you can't make it fully customized, but it has to be hurting. It can't be helping. So the pros and cons here are, the pro is that we hear it helps eliminate duplicate candidates in the database, keep your database clean. It helps with the, you know, I'm sure might accelerate onboarding, whatever. The con is what Brad said. You're just typing in those 9 digits and praying that nothing bad happens. Most of the time, it probably doesn't, but just if it does once, it might. But we've been conditioned not to share that information, personally identifiable information. And I can't believe the pros outweigh the cons there. I'm sure it helps the recruiters and all of that, but we're not setting ourselves up for success.
I might want to bring somebody on the show to talk about this. And my other question, Matt, is the software running a real-time check to make sure the name and the numbers align? So like example for you, I put in my credit card because I want to get DoorDash this afternoon. It matches my name to the credit card and it knows, okay, this is accurate. Run it, process it. Let's move forward. If I just put in 0123456789, Brad Biley, is it still creating a candidate record? Is that good enough? Because at that point, why even ask? That's what I'm wondering. I wonder if the social security numbers that are being entered at stage one of the process as these identifiers, are they even accurate? Because if they're not accurate, then what are we doing here in the first place?
That's a great question. So if I'm just putting in fake data to get by that so I can get into there, that'd be really interesting to see if that happens.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here thinking, okay, I really want to apply for this director of digital role. I really want to, but they're asking for my social. I'm not going to give it to you. Can I just do 1111111111 to enter? And then it'd be cool if I did 9 times there. I don't know if I did. Is that enough or however many you need? Whatever. Moving on. Is that enough to bypass the first stage of the process?
I hear it's not even a full-time director of digital. It could be a warehouse worker that's working shifts, or you know, a nurse that's on a 13-week assignment, or whatever. Someone that just needs somebody for 5 days, like, or a special event. Like we've heard people have to work at, you know, big sporting events, big concert events for just 6 hours on a Saturday night. You want my social security number? I just can't believe the pros outweigh the cons there for the staffing agency versus the candidate.
We have said thousands of times, it has to be thousands at this point, to reduce friction. We need to make the candidate experience easy, efficient. We need to make sure it's easy for people to apply. We need to make sure that they can apply how they want to apply. We need to make sure that we're making it easy for them to do it on their smartphones, on their laptops, tablet, whatever it might be. Matt, to your point, I cannot see the pros outweighing the cons in terms of asking for a social security number at stage one of the application process. That information is so critical and so sensitive that it has to be ruling out an overwhelming majority of applicants who would want to apply to that job. And like I said, Matt, if somebody listening understands this a little bit better than I do, I'd love to bring you on the show and talk about it. I'd love to know where I'm wrong here in this logic, and I'd love to know if it's working for you specifically. I'd love to know if, A, is there real-time data being checked to make sure that the social is accurate as it aligns with that person's name, or can I just put in 0 through 8 and just kind of rig the system? I'd love to know if you feel you're not getting a drop-off in candidates because of asking for that piece of information. But Matt, to me, in a world where we need to make sure that we are living up to, I'll say it, Amazon standards, we're reducing friction, we're making it as easy as people to take action, this doesn't feel like we're moving in the right direction. And I had to bring it to the show because, Matt, like you said, we've seen it a few times this week, and it's frustrating me. So what we do is we talk about it, we use this as therapy, and we keep it moving. Matt, let's get to segment 2, bud. What do you say? I want to talk about a recent report from our friends over at Bullhorn. They put together their 2024, let me get the official title here, Matt, so that everyone can go and find it. And we'll link to it in the show notes. It's the 2024, I'm going to say GRID 2024 Industry Trends Report. After a year of operational restructuring and downsizing, staffing firms remain focused on winning and retaining business. Many believe we will return to growth in 2024 and that the right technology will position them for success. Again, friends, it's from our friends over at Bullhorn that put together this 2024 industry trends report. And I'm going to go through the five high level findings that they have, Matt, and then what we can do here is break it down, bud. The first, it looks like there's four key findings. The first, high performing firms are focusing on productivity and efficiency. It's actually here. I'm sorry. High performing firms relied on automation to improve productivity and efficiency. Number two, top performers improve conversion rates by providing a better talent experience. They probably don't ask for a social security number at stage one of the process. Number three, top performers are already using AI to complete or at least start tasks. Number four, top performing firms won new business in spite of the economy. Matt, be honest with you, buddy, nothing earth-shattering there that I haven't seen coming in my probably 200-plus calls in the last quarter and a half here. You?
There wasn't. The overall takeaways, I think, were pretty consistent. Digging deeper, there might be some things that we can pull out and I thought were really interesting. Jumping up, there's some data and some graphs and some information above each of those five high-level areas. And I liked how the report showed the companies that revenue increased in 2023 versus revenue that decreased in 2023. So for example, what I'm talking about is how long it took firms to place a candidate. And the companies that placed candidates in 19 days or less, 59% of them saw their revenue go up last year. That kind of seemed to be the sweet spot. That 10 to 19 day point was actually the most. But when time to fill took longer, more companies that took longer saw their revenue go down last year. So I liked how the report talked about that, and that was the sweet spot. So that was one of the takeaways. There was one other one later I want to talk about, but get your thoughts on kind of what I said there. What else jumped out to you?
Yeah, I saw in the same section there that 32% of top performers are relying on automation to handle candidate screening. I like that a lot. You know, we need to use some sort of automation to help make our jobs easier, more efficient, more effective. 10 to 19 days being the sweet spot for time to place. I'm going to be honest, Matt, that seems high to me. I'm with you. I get it. I hear you. I just know how quickly good talent is off the market as well. And I know how quickly we can fill an order when we have the right person. 10 to 19 days being the sweet spot, the average. Okay, I can agree to that. I hear that. What that's saying to you, friends, is if you have any sort of order that is longer than that, I mean, you're missing out drastically on opportunity. Somebody else is filling that order. 10 to 19 days, we got to move. But Matt, we know that, right? I know I was just talking to Jeff Statz, our CMO. One of the biggest takeaways from the NISA sales summit that happened a week or two ago was that speed kills all deals, but speed can also win all deals. And I think the correlation here is speed can make or break the candidate experience, can make or break your placement. If you're dragging your candidate along and you're not giving them next steps, you're not telling them what's going on, they're going to go somewhere else. We all want to be heard. We want our opinions heard. We want to be seen like we're being helped in the right way. And we need to make sure that we're doing that. So 10 to 19 days, Matt, that feels right. That was a good data point to bring here. What else you got?
The other one that stuck out to me, and this has got my brain in a pretzel a little bit. It's jumping down to the bottom, top challenges across all firms. What have we heard for months, Brad? What do companies need?
Clients.
Number one, top challenge across all firms. Top business challenges for 2024, 43%. Number one, tight talent pools. Skill shortages and gaps.
Yeah, not what I've heard on probably 99% of my calls. I will say, I have been on four. I can think of the clients by name. I've been on four calls in the last, again, we'll call about 200, where candidates are the issue.
So fewer job recs was number two at 39%. We haven't heard recruitment is a challenge lately. Maybe it's coming from the point of quality candidates because it says skill shortages and gaps. So that seems to be what's standing out as the top business challenge for the industry is it's not getting the candidates. Maybe it's getting the quality candidates.
Maybe it's because they're asking for social security in step one of the process. And we're missing out on quality because people don't want to give that information. Matt, I'm with you there. Quality, we've seen, what are we at? 3.7% unemployment. So maybe we can accept that the top talent is already placed somewhere. So is there a difficulty finding good talent? Well, we need to go recruit passive talent. We shouldn't be expecting them to come to us, maybe. So maybe there's a shift in the mindset, a shift in the logic of how we're getting talent. I can accept that. Go ahead.
I was just stunned. Sorry to cut you off. Recruiting was the number one business challenge for 2024.
I can tell you, again, let's call it 200 calls. I can think of by name four clients who have told me candidates are the issue. Everybody else is struggling to close orders and is closing to sales. Interesting. What else? Any other key takeaways there?
That's all I got from the report. That's what stood out to me. Some good takeaways, I think, underneath the headers. The headers weren't anything groundbreaking, you know, earth shattering, anything like that. But digging in, there was some good takeaways, I think, that companies can learn from.
Yeah, the one thing that I want to talk about is how the top performers are adopting to AI and are adopting to using more automation and are using more of that layer of their tech stack. Matt, I don't think that's anything new. We talked about that in 2023. We're going to probably talk about it in 2025. God willing, the show is still around and Haley still lets us do this. But I hope they will. But it's good to know that the top performers are actually seeing success from it. And we're not just making funny memes or we're not using it to, you know, break down content. We're getting past the fun way of using ChatGPT, right? To make a silly graphic in Dolly or something like that and actually using it for our business. We're using it to analyze data. We're using it to our advantage. And friends, that's one of the biggest things that I've learned with ChatGPT. It can be an incredible waste of time. An absolutely incredible waste of time. Worse than social media. Absolutely worse than falling into a rabbit hole on TikTok or Twitter or Instagram Reels, whatever it might be. If you're just in ChatGPT, just doing stuff, you are wasting your time. There's a great episode of Take the Stage where I talked to Trisha Tamkin, where she talked about how you should be thinking about how can AI help me in insert task here. If you're not thinking with that logic and that mindset and that framework, you are literally wasting your time. So it's good to know, Matt, again, that the top performing organizations are using ChatGPT, are using AI, are using automation to their advantage and are not just wasting time on miscellaneous tasks.
To steal one of the things you like to do on the show is it's a challenge. I challenge the audience because it shows the top performing companies are doing that. But then when you read into the document a little more, it says AI will be a regular part. What's the exact term? AI. Speaking with staffing firms, most predict that AI will be a regular part of every business by 2025. The challenge is, can you wait?
I'm not waiting that long.
2025 is 9 months away.
Yeah.
And you're getting blown. They're blown past you, your competitors or anyone else that's implementing this now. If you're still testing, still experimenting, we're 15-ish months in to really it jumping out here from the end of 2022. You can't wait.
Why do we think like that? If that would be like, Matt, you saying, you know what? I'm really going to get my golf swing dialed in 2025 and just completely omitting the season that's in front of you. Or we talk about the health journey that I'm on and how active I am in the gym right now, being like, you know what? Next year, I'm going to hit that goal. I'm going to start January 1st. It is March 3rd. Or I'm sorry, March 1st at day of recording. By the time we drop this, it'll be March 3rd. March 4th, sorry. Why are you waiting until 2025? Adapt, change, think about what you can do differently. And I'm not saying every time something new, this new shiny object comes, we need to completely pivot and change what we're doing, but this isn't going anywhere. We're already seeing success from it. Why wait?
I'm going to go back to Staffing World from fall 2023, and there's probably some takeaways from your Taking the Stage talk you just referenced. It's overwhelming and people don't know what to do. And they don't know how to make progress. They don't, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. That's probably the takeaway from that point is it's overwhelming. It's scary because not even the crazy, you know, crazy theories, but like some recruiters probably think it could take their job. When in theory, the recruiter that learns it is going to take the job of the recruiter that doesn't learn it. So the progress, the one piece at a time can get you there faster. We can't wait.
And I can accept that, but that's why we have state associations. That's why we have ASA. That's why we have SIA. That's why we have podcasts like this one and other friends that, you know, we are friends with and their shows. That's why we have Lunch with Haley. That's why we have our blog and you have industry blogs there are so many people that want to help coach you. Trisha Tampkin and Jason, who are phenomenal with GPT, and I'll give them that plug because they were on our show a little while ago. We have to learn because, Matt, it's not going to completely replace us, but it will replace those who don't adapt. And that is a scary realization. Hey, it's Brad taking a short break to tell you about an offer exclusive to listeners of Insights. 30 minutes of strategic marketing consultation with me, completely free. You can visit bit.ly/insights30, pick a time that works best for you. That's it. Whether you need better candidates or ideas to drive more sales, I want to help. You can visit bit.ly/insights30 to schedule a time. That's bit.ly/insights30 and schedule a time that works best for you. All right, let's get back to the show. Matt, we continue to hear companies are struggling to find and fill job orders. I want to flip the idea a little bit. What if you focused on getting quality candidates and used that in your sales pitch to get new or more job orders? What if we used recruitment marketing to our advantage on the sales front? What do you think about that?
I love it. Well, director of recruitment marketing loves that.
Sure.
But, and then I'll flip it back to you to hear when you've talked about that conversations you've had in the last weeks and months, if companies are doing this. But to me, thinking about how to differentiate a staffing company that sees job orders being reduced and or trying to go get new business from new clients, what about, you know, building the bench, having a really good bench database of candidates that's quality, that's interested in looking, that are active? And it's skill marketing a little bit, but I don't know if I want to go that far with skill marketing, but build some case studies, build some testimonials that showcase, okay, I have, it could be skill marketing, I guess, 10 great CNC machinists that I can bring to you tomorrow for your the jobs you can't fill. It's your warehouse company hurting your business, hurting your production, hurting your revenue. You can't get enough product out the door because you don't have the talent you need. Flip that by investing in recruitment, getting those active candidates, and using that as the pitch.
Will the candidate be okay in knowing there's not a job tomorrow? Let me ask you that, Director of Recruitment Marketing.
Probably not, but then it doesn't cost the candidate anything to apply to the job. Where I'm coming from is I'm seeing companies reduce spend, eliminate spend, say they're okay. So are we wasting a little bit of money if I don't place that candidate? Maybe. So, but the candidate also might not know. And the candidate will think of, you know, we'll keep applying until they get placed.
So I'm with you. I think it changes the messaging from we're a staffing firm who puts people to work to we're a career coach or we're a career agent. And we're going to work with you. And I've heard our friend Staffing Shark in multiple talks say that he's a career agent and he's a career coach. And Matt, he might not have a job for you tomorrow, but you have to talk to him because when he finds above director of recruitment marketing, whatever your next role would be, right? Whatever. You got to work with him because when he finds that role, he's going to put you in it, right? He's going to work with you and your best interests in mind to make sure that he's doing everything he can as your agent, just like somebody in the NFL would do, right? Just like somebody in the MLB would do. Your agent is working for you. And Matt, that's kind of why I asked you the question, because I wanted to tee up my next point. Sorry for that. But
I was wondering, I should have said, where are you going with this?
Yeah. And you would have learned by episode 138 too. But when we think about it, I think the candidate is okay with saying, listen, I'm okay if there's no job tomorrow. I'm happy, right? 3.7% unemployment. Most people are, or they're at least employed. Whether or not they're happy, that's a different conversation, but they're at least employed, so they don't need a job right now. But they're applying saying, okay, go to work for me. That's why I would work with a staffing agency, right? I'm super happy at Haley, but, and this is nothing against, I'm not looking for a job and want to be super clear with everyone at Haley who's going to listen to this. But if you had a career coach that said, listen, man, I'm going to work with you as your agent to elevate you when the time's right, that makes total sense. So, okay, Matt, that makes sense. On the sales side of it now, I don't think we as an industry do skill marketing well. I think we send out an email maybe once a month, once a quarter, and say, hey, we have Matt. He has 5 years experience in recruitment marketing. He's very analytical, very data-driven, is good with Excel and Google Analytics, and knows Indeed. And that's what we do. And we send that out to our prospects and our clients, and everyone says, well, what the hell does that matter to me? We do a very poor job selling the person. And if you're an agent and you are a career coach and you are a career agent, you need to go to war for your candidates, and you need to go to war for the talent that you're working with, because at the end of the day, that's how you get paid. And if we're treating people like bodies that were moving from point A to point B, that's not going to get it done. Matt, I love that take. We're going to cut that take because I love that take.
You're right with skill marketing. I mean, they're in your inbox, probably just like you're there in my inbox. I can get you project managers, finance, IT, creative, and that's it. That's all I hear. I got one yesterday. I remember. I don't know what it was, but they're in there and I hit delete because one, I don't hire, and two, I know it's just a random outreach for some guy that doesn't hire. So taking it to that next level would be an awesome little value prop for or tactic for the staffing company.
Building a bench makes a ton of sense. Skill marketing, ton of sense. Working with your talent and saying, listen, even if I don't have a job for you right now, here's why you want to work with me. Here's why you need to talk to me. Here's why I want to be your career coach and your career agent. Love that methodology. Matt, these are differentiators, man. This changes the conversation from, oh, well, you're paying Matt, 22% for, a placement or this, that's his fee. Okay, well, I'll come in at 21 and you should work with me because I'm, 1% cheaper. Changes the complete conversation. This changes everything, Matt, and it gives you something to actually compete on. We have a bench. We're ready to go. You have projects that need to get completed. Matt, you know how hard it is when you're, a one or two people down because of vacations or things like that on your team. Scale that across a production facility. Now lines aren't running. We have units that aren't being run. We have shipments that aren't getting out the door. This is a major issue. Okay, when that happens, we have people ready to go. Call us and they'll be there tomorrow.
And another thing, keep in the back pocket to build off that, when the job orders come back, you already have the candidates.
I mean, that's another thing. Collectively, as an industry, we love to go get new applications instead of go back to the watering hole, right? I mean, we know that. It seems like we would much rather place a posting on Indeed and get 100 new applies than go back to the 50 people who did the job last week and ask if anyone wants to go back out. I don't know why we do that. It's probably easier, but that continues to blow my mind. We've talked about that on the show before.
I just think like the market will flip eventually. We don't know when. Like, we're taping this first quarter 2024, but the market will flip. And then if you have that bench ready to go, when the orders start coming in, it'd be great if your staffing company could say, oh, you need 20 warehouse workers tomorrow. Oh, great. I already have them for you.
I think it's a good angle. I don't see many people doing it. Again, there are companies who are skill marketing, but from what I see on LinkedIn or what I see via my own email, this is outside of Haley. This is just what I see and what I observe. It looks sloppy. And it looks like it could be cleaned up. And again, if you're an agent, and we need to put that image in people's minds, if you're trying to ship Josh Allen to another team, what are you going to do? How are you going to sell that? How are you going to sell that story? What are you going to do differently? Worse, what if you're trying to sell the fourth string quarterback behind Josh Allen? How are you going to sell that story and paint that picture? What are you going to do to make sure that he gets his next job? And if we can do that and we can put ourselves in that mindset, again, the Shark has said it multiple times, and I'll give him the hat tip here. If you can be that career coach and be that career agent, well, then I think you change the game and I think you actually have some differentiation instead of just competing on price. And we simply can't do that anymore. Matt, good show, man. Like I said, rose from the ashes like a phoenix. If you would have asked me to do this recording, we actually were supposed to record this earlier this week, man. Never would have been able to do it, but I'm glad we were able to get together here, man. Great seeing you. Great talking to you as always. Anything else before we get out of here?
No, I think we're good to wrap up the show.
I got one more question.
Oh,
I have one more question. It's March 1st.
Yes.
At 10:47 time of recording Eastern.
Yes.
Is winter over? Yes or no?
Yes, winter is over. I will declare it
in
over.
Buffalo, New York? In Buffalo, New York?
I'm not looking at the forecast across the country. I'm sure there's stuff on the West Coast that's going on, or Denver that seems to be 80 today and 27 tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think in the Great Lakes, Buffalo, New York area, looking at the long term, I think we're done, which is, why not? Aim high, miss high. The forecast looks like we're done. It was El Nino, all this happening, and the lake's open, which scares some people. If you live by lake effect snow, you can get a storm that drops 2 feet on you in March. I think we're done.
I want that in the show because we always talk weather, and two, I want the clip for myself in case we get a blizzard April 7th. I want to be able to post that on LinkedIn. Friends, that's our show. Thank you for listening to another episode of Insights. If you found this episode valuable, we would love to know. You can message Matt or Brad on LinkedIn to share your thoughts. If you have a question for us, well, hey, you can tweet us at Haley Marketing. You can reach out to us on LinkedIn. Let us know what you're thinking. We'd love to chat with you. And of course, if you need a hand with your recruitment or digital marketing efforts, we'd love to help. You can reach out to info@haleymarketing.com and be sure you tell them that Insights sent you. My podcast partner, Matt Lozar. This is Brad Viley.